Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Lee Cantor here, another episode of High Velocity Radio, and this is going to be a good one. Today, we're going to be talking with Mark Missigman, and he is with Mark Missigman Enterprises. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you, Lee. Glad to be here. Thank you for inviting me on.
Well, I'm excited to learn about leadership from you. I understand that that's an important part of your life and your career.
That is true. That is true, Lee. My business centers around leadership. I've always been in leadership positions, and I recently wrote a book about it.
Now, can you tell us a little bit about why leadership became such a focus, such a focal point for you in your career? Did something happen? Was there a big moment where you're like, wow, leadership matters?
Yes, you could say that. I'm a 20-year United States Navy veteran, so there was many chances during that career to be in leadership position and conduct leadership activities that were necessary at the time. But what I found when I got into the corporate world was that leadership was lacking in various areas. And then I think in the world today, we can all agree that some better leadership is necessary till we can be more successful in several areas.
Now, do you believe that everybody has an opportunity to become a leader, or is that something that's just kind of born in a handful of folks?
That is a great question, and I think that that's one myth about leadership that I'm glad I have the opportunity to dispel, is that everybody has the opportunity, everybody has the ability to become a leader or to lead in everyday life. I know that everybody each day has anywhere from 6 to 12 opportunities to lead. And how they show up in those opportunities can determine the difference in their life or someone else's life. So, yes, there are people that are natural born leaders that may be more slanted towards becoming a leader or feel more comfortable being in a leadership role. But anybody and everybody become a leader because it is a set of skills that can be worked on and developed just the way anybody would learn how to dribble a basketball or play an instrument or write a book, for example.
Now, how do you kind of discern between leading, being a leader, or having charisma, or being an extrovert, just being kind of loud and out there, and then people are gathering around just for the spectacle of things? Like, how are you discerning, you know, what is leadership versus those other activities that people might be following the individual?
Well, that's also a great question, because I think that, again, that's kind of a myth that people think that the leader is the guy that might be on the stage or the lady that has the microphone in her hand. But leadership to me is the person who is the first one that's willing to help. So if you can imagine yourself maybe in a cubicle farm at work or at a desk at work or at your shop at work, and somebody's walking through your area carrying several boxes, and you stop what you're doing and you go, can I help you with that? And you go help put them up. You can say, hey, I just need to stretch my legs anyway. That person is being a leader because they're seeing where a need is, a opportunity to help, and they're filling that void.
Now, why do you think people tolerate poor leadership?
Wow, that's a great question. And it could be any number of answers. I think that potentially why people tolerate poor leadership is that they are comfortable with what they know. So they know the devil that is there and they can deal with that. The other one is if they say, well, if that person's not leading, then who's going to lead? It may take them a while, a few iterations of dealing with this frustration or dealing with the deficiency in leadership to come to the conclusion that maybe it should be me. Maybe I should be leading because I have ideas. So I think that's part of the reason why people tolerate poor leadership, and it may be lack of awareness to realize that it's leadership that's the issue. They may just be saying, well, that person is not a good person, or they're not smart, or they're not intelligent, or they don't care, when really it may be a lack of development of the leadership skills.
Now, coming from a military background, you probably had an opportunity to learn and see with your eyes leadership at a high level probably more so than a lot of folks that have just not been in the military. Can you share a little bit about how the military, or maybe I don't know if this is part of your leadership philosophy, was at least somewhat built around or you learned from some of the things that you learned in the military?
Well, for sure, the military experience definitely shaped my leadership lens, if you will, or my slant to leadership. And you're right, I did have the opportunity to be a part of some high-level meetings, to be a part of some real-world operations where leadership had to be displayed and was displayed and did a very wonderful job in most cases, from some admirals, from some commodores, and from enlisted folks. I also had the opportunity to work alongside the former Secretary of the Air Force, the Honorable Deborah Lee James, who is a big part of my book, as a matter of fact. But that definitely shaped the leadership that I do. So one example may be that there was a commodore that I served for whose main goal was to make sure that everybody knew that their piece of this puzzle to operate this ship was very important, and they knew what they were doing. He wanted to have officers that knew how to, quote unquote, derive the ship, because that was the bread and butter of what we did.
Now, is that a component to good leadership of explaining kind of the big picture so everybody is rowing in the same direction, so that everybody is kind of philosophically and, you know, in their day-to-day activities aligned with the ultimate goal? Otherwise, you're going to have a few people splinter off and maybe pulling in the wrong direction or a different direction that might cause some friction where there doesn't have to be friction.
Absolutely. It is key to be able to communicate why are we here? What is it that we're doing, and what are the values are that we work from? So you're exactly right. If not all the people in the boat are rowing in the same direction, the boat's going to go in circles. So, but again, that doesn't require a charismatic leader that has a morning meeting that gets everybody fired up and going. That actually works better when that message is communicated in the strength of the person delivering it. So if a person's more of an introvert and more of a, say, likes the written word, then communicate it that way. But it's a constant feeding of that. It's not necessarily the beginning of the project, we're going to talk about it, then everybody go. You have to cultivate that however long it takes to get it to where everybody stays in line, whether that's daily, weekly, monthly, however the periodicity, and you'll start to get a feel for that as you mature in your leadership journey.
Now, leadership, the skills and not only the skills to do it, obviously, you believe that this is something can be learned and that there can be kind of a curriculum for this so that a person can kind of be the best leader they can be. Why do you think that we're not kind of teaching this at, you know, for children at the youngest levels to give them an opportunity to lead, give them an opportunity to be a good, I mean, being a good leader is important, but there's sometimes you have to be a good follower too, right? In order to be a really good leader, you have to kind of wear both hats, I would think.
I agree. That's kind of a multi-layered question, and I'll address both of it. It's a great question. Why are we not teaching it at the children's level? There's probably a lot of answers for that. My straightforward answer would be is we should, and we do. At least I do. I volunteer with Big Brothers Big Sisters to teach that at that level. And we do need that to be taught at that level because that the sooner you begin the journey of cultivating your leadership skills and understanding the difference maker that leadership can have, then the better off we will be. The second part of the question I will answer in this way is that leadership is the difference maker, okay? And it will make a difference in any situation that you're in.
I agree. I think this is kind of a core value, and it mm-hmm. has to be something that is brought up early and often, and it should be at the forefront of your work. And especially if you're an individual contributor somewhere, everybody should be, there's no harm in being a better leader. There's literally no downside. Like there's only upside.
That's true. And that's true. And it is a core value. And I think that value is learned, as you said earlier, as being that good follower, because maybe that, I wouldn't say maybe, that is the first step of being a great leader, is being a good follower. Because once you change hats, once you go from the opposite end of the scale, following, to leading, you'll know what it's like to be a follower. Therefore, you have that ability to communicate to the follower what he or she needs to hear, what he or she needs to do, and get them the tools to do their job, to be a part of the organization, to be a part of the family, whatever it may be. So with that experience, you mature into that leader knowing that, hey, I've walked in those shoes before. I know what to expect, and I know what I can do for them to help them in whatever capacity they're doing.
So I'm hearing you say that empathy is another component of good leadership.
Absolutely. Empathy is a huge component of leadership, because leadership is not dictatorial. In other words, no one stands behind the desk or on the stage or in front of the room and says, you know, we're going to do this, and they expect obedience, and they expect people to go directly to it, and 1, 2, 3, everything's going to be done. It's a relationship. Okay. It's a relationship between you and the people that you lead. And I always like to say, people don't work for me. People are not in my family. People are not joining my community. They're in the business with me. I work with them. They are part of my family. We are in this together. I just have one role to play, or I'm one component of it. And I need all the other components working with me for us to be successful.
So now let's talk about your book, Better Leadership. What was kind of the genesis of writing the book? Because that is that's a big project. Books don't just appear like magic. That takes a lot of work to put one together.
Thank you, sir. It was a good project, but it really just, once I got started, it flowed right from me. So it was kind of a very good experience. But the genesis of the book was that I had experienced this phenomenon, if you will, of mentorship and helping other folks become successful. I experienced my own success, and then I turned around and help other people experience success that they wanted for. That was, a lot of times, was in the same career field or in the same vein of mine. And that is that was the genesis of the book. Is I have had success, and then had other people be able to be successful using the methods and the philosophy, if you will, that I had. So I said, I want to share this with other folks, because all of us will say, when things are going good and there's no problems. So if there's other folks out there that I can share how I got to where I was, then I wanted to share that and help them become successful along their journey.
Now, do you find that you know, people just who are kind of sleepwalking through life, they have a philosophy that might be working for them and it might not be, but they don't know until it's tested. And then when it's tested, a lot of these people who are sleepwalking have the harsh reality of this isn't good. My bad situation's worse. And if they're not kind of anchored with these kind of values, and especially in and around leadership, that's where life gets really hard.
It is so true. And it when we have those tests is when we have to make decisions. And some people, when they are tested like that, they dig in and they don't want to change, or they say, I just have to work harder, or they don't want to give up what they believe was going to make them successful, even though they don't have the results. And then there's the other folks that are able to say, let me look at what's going on. Let me evaluate what I'm doing. I'm not where I'm supposed to be. So let me make a change. Let me consider something else. And the thing about it is when you make that change, when you make that decision to change, everything around you changes. So your mindset changes. So leadership definitely is a mindset piece that you need to adopt and start to look at things differently. So when you're just worried about you, and what you can do, what you can get, etc., you think of just me. But when you start to think like a leader, you think of we. So there's a different mindset. It's a different mindset and a different approach to your everyday life.
Yeah, a lot of people I find have this kind of view of the world that that resources are scarce and we have to hold on to them. So if anything you know, comes in front of me, I got to grab it and hold on and make sure no one else has it. And I find that life is full of abundance and there is lots of opportunity, and you find more of it by helping others.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. When you live in a life out of abundance, you find out how much more is out there. We can put it in the parallel of there's only so much of the pie to go around, but you have to have the mindset of we can make another pie. And as far as when you know that there's enough to give, to me, when I start the giving, then that starts the receiving process. Because if I give to you and you give to me, now we're giving. And once we start that and we get that, then everybody doesn't hoard what they have and they share what they have.
Yeah, that's a lesson I think we should all be taking into account, especially in today's world with the pandemic, when there's a lot of people that are suffering out there. There's a lot of opportunity out there too. And it's just a matter of, you know, kind of keeping your eyes open and looking around for it. Now, the folks that you're working with, are they typically corporate executives? Are you still working with the military? You mentioned the Boys and Girls Clubs. Like, who is your community that you're serving nowadays?
That's a great question. And to answer it, yes, I do work with company executives, usually small to medium-sized businesses. I do work with individuals. And I do work with the Big Brothers Big Sisters Club, which obviously has been a little bit curtailed during COVID. But in the recent past, in 2019, I did some organizational work for them at the high school level. So I'm looking for somebody who, whether it's a corporate exec that says, you know, my message isn't getting out there as well as it should. If I could get my team to do this a little better, or if I could get my team to do this a little more, then that's the person that I'm looking for. And I do that through several different platforms, through personality analysis, through leadership coaching, through leadership consulting and workshops. I'm also looking for that person who says, I'm not exactly happy where I'm at in my life, and I want to go to the next level, or I'm making a big change in my life. And that way we work one-on-one in coaching and we develop a plan. We find out what they want, where they want to go, and we develop a strategy to help them get there. So that's who I'm looking for, Lee.
And then the way that they engage with you, I guess the first step is maybe get their hands on that book.
They could get their hands on this book, and they will learn a lot about my methodologies and a lot about me. And the book is called Better Leadership, How to Become a Difference Maker in Business, Your Community, and Family. You can find just the book on Amazon if you search for my name, Mark Missigman, and that's MISSIGMAN. But if you also go to markmissigman.com/my-book, you can also purchase the book and look for and also purchase the book. And there are some offers there for you that I think that most people will find interesting in that list of people that I just mentioned.
So now you do some work with young folks. Are you optimistic about our future? How are you seeing kind of the leadership skills of the young folks you're working with?
Very good question. And I'm an optimistic guy generally. And the young folks that I've worked with, which was mostly sophomores and juniors in high school here in Jacksonville, Florida. And I'm optimistic about that because I received many, many great questions from the topics that I presented on leadership, on how to get along with people, how to understand your strengths and your weaknesses. And I received some generous feedback from them. And actually, when I visited a school, one of the schools a couple of weeks after my first initial training with them, one of the teachers took me aside and said, Mark, these two young ladies that were in your first class, we couldn't get them to be in the same room at the same time and get along. And I said, now that they understand who they are and what their strengths are, they get along fine. So I think that just with a little bit of teaching, a little bit of training, the future will be in good hands.
Now, any advice for folks out there that might be struggling? And if you were to impart some advice for them regarding leadership skills or maybe improve their own leadership skills, what's some low-hanging fruit or something that they can do maybe today?
That's a great question. And low-hanging fruit, I would say that the hardest part about leadership is self-leadership. So the idea there is, are you honest about yourself? And you're honest about what you do well and what you do not do well. Are you asking folks to do something that you're really not doing well, you're really not displaying the example for? So, for example, I'm good at public speaking, I'm good at influencing, and I'm good at inspiring people. Don't ask me to do accounting because we will not have balanced books. So therefore, I have to be honest with myself and say, somebody, please help me with accounting.
And then when you kind of look in the mirror and see that, it's not only that you have to say, I'm not good at accounting, is you got to find somebody that is. Like, that's the actionable step, right? You can't just say, I'm bad at it and keep doing it badly.
That's very true. You have to take that next step and admit it to yourself. And the next step is to ask for the help and find someone else to do it. Therefore, the team, the leadership team, is well-rounded, because one of my mentors, John Maxwell, wrote a book called The 21 Laws of Leadership. And those are the different facets of leadership. And he will tell you, even though if you don't know him, he has written more books than anyone in the history of the world, not just currently, but in the history of the world, on leadership. And he will tell you himself, he doesn't do all 21 laws well. So we have to be humble enough and have courageous enough to say, I need help with this.
Good stuff. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story today, Mark. You're doing such important work, and we appreciate you.
Thank you so much. It was an honor to be here, and thank you for the time. And if I can help anyone out there, if I can do anything for you, Lee, you please let me know.
Well, give them the website one more time before we wrap.
Sure. It's markmisigman.com/my-book. And the last name is MISSIGMAN. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, thank you again for sharing your story today.
Take care. God bless.
All right. This is Lee Cantor. We will see you all next time on High Velocity Radio.